I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Jonah. And today we'll be in Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. If you didn't get a listening guide on your way in, you can slip your hand up and somebody will get you one of those from the back that will help you follow along. But we're in a new book of the Bible. You guys know we've finished up our letters to the Thessalonians, and we are beginning the book of Jonah, which is about our compassionate God and a hateful prophet. That's what the book of Jonah is about. And just to kind of get our bearings for those of you that might just be jumping in with us this morning, it is a book in the Old Testament. So this is written before the promised coming of Jesus Christ. It reveals God's work in history. It's part of his unfolding plan of redemption. And in the Old Testament, God is revealing himself to mankind. He's showing us about who he is, showing us about what his will is for our lives and how he works in our world to bring about his will. So hopefully you're there this morning in your Bible or in your listening guide. If not, we'll have the words on the screen here behind me. And hear the word of the Lord from the book of Jonah. This after Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord and doing what the Lord had told him to do. In verse 4 it says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' And Jonah said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Amen. This is God's word. And let's turn to him and ask for his help this morning that we would hear his word and respond to it in the way that he intends. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Father, you are the creator of heaven and earth. There's no one like you. Lord, truly, you are worthy of our worship. We have more than 10,000 reasons for giving you thanks today, Lord, as we sung just a few moments ago. We thank you for your word, Father, that it is true. You have preserved it for us in the Bible. We thank you that it shows us not only who you are, but it shows us for who we are, Lord. And we have so much in common with Jonah. We can relate with the ways that we have tried to run from you, Father. And we can relate with the fact that we sin and fall short of your glory and your commands for us. We thank you, Lord, that in your word you have told us about your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And we thank you that Jonah is a lesson for us, but he also points us to Jesus. So help us now in this time, Lord, to hear your word. Please let our hearts be soft to what your word has to say, that it might lead us to faith in your Son. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I love the book of Jonah. Hopefully you are as well. As we're kind of unfolding through this each week, hopefully you're beginning to relate more with Jonah. And as we said, Jonah's lesson is the lesson that all of us have to learn. We talked about that last week. And today, as we look at these six verses, what's pretty plain, the point of this passage, I think, is that to teach us that we cannot outrun God's plan and purpose. That's pretty plain. We cannot outrun God's plan and purpose as he works it out in our lives. Just to give you a little bit of recap, we talked last week about how the message of Jonah is that God will lead us to discover his compassion for all people. God hasn't created the world and just wound it up and stepped back from it. We read that God is involved with our lives. He is involved in the world that you and I live in. If your Bible's there open, you remember last week, in the first three verses, God's call came to Jonah, his prophet. He said, "Go to Nineveh, call out against them for their evil, because it has come up before me." This in the hopes that they would turn from their evil to faith in God and be saved. The Bible tells us that God is not willing, or God does not desire that any should perish, but that all might reach repentance, a changing of heart, and a turning to God. Sounds good so far, except for Jonah, that was one problem. The Ninevites were his enemies. The Ninevites were the nation of Israel's enemies. They were wicked people. They fought with the nation of Israel, militarily speaking. The Ninevites were known for their legendary brutality. Remember, we talked about last week how their kings, when they conquered people, they were known for actually skinning their victims alive. These were not God-fearing people. They did not worship the God of heaven. They worshiped false gods. But then again, I talked about last week too, Israel was not God-fearing at this time either. They worshiped many false gods. So Jonah, instead of obeying God's command, remember, he's running away from God. And the Bible tells us that instead of going east to Nineveh, Jonah went west to Joppa, to a city named Tarshish. He boarded a ship to go to a city of Tarshish, which most commentators tell us that's in Spain, 3,000 miles away. A journey to Tarshish took about 3 years at this time. Jonah has no intention of obeying God's word. We're really beholding a God who is compassionate and a prophet who is filled with hate for his enemies. And the question in the book of Jonah is, how far is Jonah going to make it? We're at verse 4 now, and we're wondering, how far is he going to make it as he tries to run from doing the will of God? And it's very relevant to us this morning. The question will be for us, for you and I, how far are any of us going to make it when we try to run from the will of God? When we try to run from his plan and purpose. As I read in a commentary this week, the question is, will you or I be able to run successfully from the will of God? And the answer to that is most definitely no. We can already see that from these verses in Jonah. And that got me thinking this week of my track meets. I don't know, you guys know I was a big runner. Made me think of my track meets in high school growing up, you know, at the track meets, many schools would get together. Different runners would square off against one another. I'd get my runner attire on, my tank top, and those shorts that are always just a little too short for anything else except running on a track. But in the days leading up to the race, you know, we'd all maybe on the bus ride out there, or the days before in school, we'd be talking a big game, like, yeah, we're definitely going to beat these guys. We're definitely much faster than our opponents. We're going to win this track meet. It's like taking candy from a baby. And that is until you actually show up and you toe the line and you start sizing up your competition, and the race gun goes off, the race begins, and it wasn't before long before I realized I am not the fastest guy out here. There are people who are much faster than me out here at this race, and suddenly my big talk becomes about this big on the racetrack. And there was one race I remember in particular. I actually miscounted the number of laps that we were on. Some of you are like, you ran more than one lap. But yeah, I did a 2-mile race. It was 8 laps, and I actually lost track of what lap number we were on. And I thought we were in the final lap of the race. So I took off at a full sprint to finish off the race. And I thought, I'm leaving these guys in the dust. And I come sprinting across the finish line, exhausted. I let my hands fall to my side. I'm like, yes, that takes care of that. You know, beat my opponents. And then I hear to my great, I can't think of the word, my great horror, if you will, hey, there's one more lap. You need to keep on going. And so I'm exhausted. I'm sucking wind. I'm trying to keep running. I'm halfway around the track, and I'm peeking over my shoulder because the guy behind me is catching up to me. And I just know there's no way I'm going to outrun this guy. This guy is gaining on me. And sure enough, in the last 100 meters, he caught up to me and passed me and beat me on my way to the finish line. So it was an embarrassing day for me. There's the kid who took second. Thought he had the right number of laps. And I found out that day I was not able to outrun my opponent. And similarly speaking, when it comes to us and God, we cannot outrun him. We can't outrun his plan and his purpose for our lives. Just as God made known his plans to Jonah, God has also made known his plan and his purpose for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The God who sent Jonah is the God who we know, as fast forward in the years here throughout biblical history, he's the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he's able to not only make us know his will, but God is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he's able to direct you and I into the will of God. So it's a lesson for Jonah. It's a lesson for us personally, and actually it's a lesson collectively for his church. We should learn to not be a fool trying to run from God, but we ought to learn to fear God and submit to his will for our lives. And as we look at this book, God leads us to discover he's got compassion for all people. And as we look at this passage, God shows us how we're not able to outrun his plans. So firstly, we look at these verses. It's three short points for us this morning. There's two in your listening guide, so listen in. You'll have a write-in note later. Very exciting. I've had a long week, so I barely got that one in there. But first off, what we see from this passage is God will get our attention. God is able to get our attention. Look at verse 4. It says, this is Jonah now. He's on the ship. He's running from the Lord. He's sailing away, going west instead of east. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, that's a great storm, on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. So catch this. Verse 3 ends with saying, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4 begins with saying, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. And in the Hebrew, the way these sentences mesh together, it actually, the sentence ends with God and begins with God, side by side. So it's like, Jonah ran from God, period. God stopped him in his tracks. That's how the author wants us to read this as we read this book of the Bible. And it's an immediate display that God is greater than Jonah. This is what Jonah tried to do. This is how God dealt with him instead. And while we're talking about track meets in high school, that took me back to math class and remembering the greater than and less than signs. And this is like basically a math equation. And in this case, the greater than sign is pointing to God and the less than side is pointing to Jonah. After all this was said and done, Jonah could have got a t-shirt that said, I am less than, God is greater than. I tried to run from God, God threw a storm on the sea. And if we're honest this morning, we can all get this t-shirt. We can all have this t-shirt in the drawer of our life stories. If we're honest, we have our instances where we have tried to disobey God's commands, tried to keep him out of our lives, tried to ignore his plan and his purpose as revealed in his word, and it hasn't gone so well. This is not one of these kind of feel-good passages. This is one to teach us to fear the Lord. God's the creator of everything in our world, and including ourselves. The Psalms put it this way, Psalm 33, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. God's the creator of the world. Jonah knew that, and Jonah experienced that in a very personal way when he tried to run from God, and God drew up a storm on the sea. God's immediately displaying his displeasure towards Jonah. Now, none of us have ever had a storm. Well, maybe you have. Talk me your story afterward. None of us have had maybe a literal storm stop us on the sea. But we have had instances in our lives where God has to work to get our attention by allowing certain things into our lives. God will not be mocked. We know that God is good, he's true, he's loving, but God is also just. God is sovereign. When we go astray, he disciplines those whom he loves. Any of us who's a parent here this morning knows that. If you love your child, you teach them in the way they should go. You tell them right from wrong. God does the same thing with us as his children. He disciplines those whom he loves. And we can share times where, hey, I tried to go against God's plans, I tried to go against his purposes, and God stopped me in my tracks. Let me just say as a side note this morning, this is entirely different than the popular message out there, which says, hey, whatever direction you're going, that's the same one God's going in. Whatever you want out of life, that's what God wants to give you. So just ask him for whatever you want, and God will prosper you in your way. And if you have enough faith, God will give it to you. And it's just basically a lot of things like that. People talk about seeking God for weather, for riches, for earthly things, with no regard for the worship of God. God wants his will done. He's not going the same direction that we're going. The Bible says actually that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, that we are not going his direction. And so just read the book of Jonah and see that God wants to accomplish his plan and his will. The Bible's a book about God first and us second. It's not about God putting his faith in us. It's about us putting our faith in God and learning what he has for us to believe in, what he has for us to do. All these things are revealed in Jonah, but ultimately find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior from sin, the Lord of all, the one who has an eternal kingdom, one that we can see. It's beginning to manifest itself, but one that is not yet fully realized. We can thank God for his grace that he does stop us in our tracks. We have a God who gets our attention. Look at verse 5. It says, then the mariners, those are the sailors on board the ship, these would have been experienced guys. They did this for a living. It says, then the mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God. They didn't know the God of heaven and earth. They also worshiped a variety of other gods. These were not Hebrews. They weren't Israelites. They started hurling the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So these hardened sailors are in a panic. This is not just a drizzle. This is a storm that made these guys panicked enough to cry out to God. They were in danger. So instead of being a blessing to others, Jonah's disobedience has actually put other people in harm's way. And so they're crying out to all kinds of false gods, many different gods of land and sea. You know, in ancient times, you had different levels of gods. You know, maybe they were asleep. Maybe they weren't paying attention, try to do different things to get their attention, but that doesn't work. So in combination with crying out, you have this scene on board the ship where the sailors are like, okay, let's pray and throw everything overboard. And they're basically saving their lives is their priority at this point. It's time to get praying is what the sailors are thinking. And by contrast, in the middle of a life-threatening storm at sea, Jonah is sound asleep. Jonah is not alert. He's out cold below deck. So verse 6, the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Similar to what God said in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh. Now the sailor's calling to Jonah, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Get up, Jonah. What's happening? There's a storm. The ship's breaking up. How can you sleep at a time like this? How can you be numb to everything that's happening around you? Arise, call out to your God. And that call comes to us in our lives. And just think for a moment. Jonah probably thought to himself, oh no. I don't want to arise and call out to God. That God is the one I'm trying to run from. God is the one I'm not trying to listen to right now. But because Jonah was not listening to God's word, God got Jonah's attention with the storm and with the sailors. God will get our attention if we don't listen to his word. This is a challenging passage. It's been a convicting passage to dive into this week for myself. The fact that Jonah was asleep during a storm says a lot about his condition. He was able to sleep soundly. He was able to be comfortable when there was problems all around him and problems within him. People around him who didn't know God, he himself running from God. Jonah was spiritually deadened in his sin. We know what that's like because we've all been there before, numb to God, unresponsive to the things that we should be responsive to. He's not above deck telling others about the one true God. He is below deck and hiding out from God. And the ones that he's supposed to teach actually come to him and they're teaching Jonah that he should arise and call out to his God. And I think it's a challenge for us to think this morning and understand we should be careful with what we are at peace about. Peace and calmness now, if it's not in the right foundation of faith in God, obedience to his word, that peace and calmness now may not last. Probably it will not last. And God will mercifully get our attention. He stops the course that we're on if we're ignoring his word. And Jonah went from saying, hey, this is working out pretty good. I ignored God. I got down to Joppa. Look at this. There's a ship on board. Everything's working out. So everything must be okay that I'm ignoring God's plan for my life. But God frustrated Jonah's plans. And it wasn't just minor plans about his career or what place or some other temporary things. God frustrated Jonah's plan, spiritually speaking. Jonah wanted to shut God out of his life. And God, with a blast of his breath, a blow of the wind, broke that plan up. God's able to get our attention. He's not going to speak a new message to us. He's going to draw our attention to what he has already said. God wants to shake us out of our spiritual slumber. That's the point of these verses. So I just ask you this morning, are you a sleeper or are you spiritually awake to God? Are you sensitive to God's word? That the God who sent Jonah to Nineveh is the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Have your eyes been opened to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is God trying to get your attention some other way? Have you listened to what the Bible says, that our sin, our fallenness, that we morally fall short of God's commands, that that is our greatest problem? Have you understood that's why we're disconnected from one another? That's why there's suffering in the world. God in his mercy is not allowing this world to continue like it is forever. Adam and Eve in the garden sinned against God, and God decided to keep us from being able to reach out and take from the tree of life because God needed to redeem us. He didn't want us to live forever in a sinful and fallen world. He wants us to have eternal life in his son, Jesus Christ. So have you responded to Christ as the sacrifice for sin? He bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might turn and trust in Christ for forgiveness of sins and freedom from them. We might be born again as a new creation in Christ. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Are you alive to God, spiritually speaking? Are you trying to run from him? You need to let God give to you in Christ, do to you in Christ what you can never do for yourself. And if you're wondering, how do I know this has happened? Well, the Bible says that when we become above deck, if you like, alive to God, we have the fruit in our life of being a new creation in Christ. We have a love for God and his word. It's not lip service that makes us a follower of Christ. It's also the fruit of turning away from things that God does not love. We begin to, knowing God's great forgiveness, his great mercy for us, we begin to be willing to lay our lives down in service for God's kingdom. We don't just follow God when it's convenient. We do it when it's costly because Christ has paid the ultimate cost for us. We need to become alive to God, awake to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus, since we are alive to God through Jesus, I just ask you this morning, are you remembering to be spiritually alert? Spiritually alert. You look at these things and you look at this fruit and you say, I know Christ. He's my Savior from sin. I'm not looking any other place. I have a love for God's word. I turn away from things that God does not love. I have a desire to serve God. How does this passage speak to me? It calls us to not drift asleep. It calls us to stay spiritually alert. God continues to work in our lives. He continues to discipline the children whom he loves. So as Christians this morning, we just ask, how's it going in my life? How's my sensitivity when God seeks to get my attention? Am I listening to his word? What do I do when God convicts me about certain things? Is my MO to just flip on the TV or run to something else or sweep it under the rug? Or do I take time to pray to God about the things that he convicts me about? Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? God wants to make you and I like Jesus. That means there is a lot of work left to be done. There is an exciting Christian life to be lived where we are going to be changed to become more and more like Jesus every day. I just ask, how's that going? Are you sensitive to God's will? Are you above deck and not asleep at the wheel? And as Christians, we should be above deck, if you will, in our involvement in the lives of the people around us. The thought occurred to me this week, you know, when people are in a house that catches fire, the people in the house should not have to run to go call the firefighters. What do you do? You call 911 and the fire department comes to you. Well, as Christians, we should be people who are going to the world. We're above deck. We shouldn't have to watch people call out to false gods or find all their hope in money and fame and popularity, trying to find an identity in something that's not going to last. We should go to them and say, Jesus is the one who gives life. All these other things are given to you to manage. We should be like the fire department, showing up on the scene. People shouldn't have to come looking for us. We should be above deck, alert, if you will, in our involvement with the world. When your friend comes to you and says, hey, can you tell me what God says about this? What does the Bible say about that? I need hope in my life. I've fallen on hard times. Can you tell me why the gospel is good news? When you have a friend who comes to you and says, I don't think I need Jesus, can you tell me otherwise? We should be ready and able to respond with the word of God. God will get our attention, and we should be at work with him in the world. Secondly, and more briefly, as we work through the back part of this text, we see that God will make himself known. Not only will God get our attention, but God will make himself known. Look at verse 7. So the sailors said to one another, come, let us cast lots. This is kind of like throwing dice, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. When you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. And at this point, Jonah's luck, if you will, is ice cold. It's not just a run of bad luck, but this is the cost of running from God. So what's happening here is the sailors now, basically after praying and throwing stuff overboard, they're talking amongst themselves, and they're saying, you know, this is a pretty terrible storm. This is not during the normal sailing season. Something divine is at work here. Something is amiss. Somehow the gods have been angered. Even the sailors are able to figure this out. So they say, let's cast lots and find out whose fault this is. Now, casting lots was done in ancient times to seek guidance from the divine. Lots were used a lot like dice. They were basically stones, and they painted one side light and the other side dark. And the way it worked is you threw two stones. If both came up on the dark side, the answer was no. If both came up light side, the answer was yes. And if it was one of each color, the rule was throw again. So now you're ready for ancient casino playing, if we were to wind the clock and go back in time. But they were used to seek an answer from the gods, if you will. Now the Israelites, they also used lot casting. You can find it in the Bible. They did it in certain cases when God's guidance was needed, particularly when they were trying to remove the chance for bias or personal control, when they wanted to leave things in God's hands. They didn't believe in chance. The Israelites believed in God's control. And Jonah is watching this unfold. Proverbs 16 is a whole chapter about God governing our world. You should go read it later. Our world is not random. Our lives are not left to chance. We don't believe in chance. God is in control. Verse 1 of Proverbs, I'll just give you a brief sampling of the buffet line, if you will, of Proverbs chapter 16. It says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In other words, we make our plans, but God says, no, this is what you're going to do. Verse 9 from Proverbs 16, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Third one, last one I'll share, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says these things with confidence because it's not left to chance. God is in control of the world that you and I live in. God will make himself known to you and to me. There is a 0% chance that somebody will be able to thwart God's plan or stop his purpose when everything is all said and done. You can take these things to the bank. And Jonah is about to experience this personally. And oddly enough, the final verse of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33 reads, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So here they are on board the ship in the middle of the storm. Maybe Jonah's thinking, am I going to get lucky? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to escape from God? Is the storm just going to die down and God's going to let me on my way? And the answer is no. The dice roll and God calls Jonah front and center. Verse 8, they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil's come upon us. They begin to ask him a bunch of questions about who he is and what his business is, trying to figure out why their lives are in danger. And Jonah, from his own mouth, makes God known. You ever find yourself saying what you know is right, even though your heart has been trying to run from it the whole time? Jonah said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And in verse 10, it says, the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. The surprising thing is, the sailors are actually the ones who fear God. Jonah was in a deep sleep, but they are deeply fearful of God. The truth from God's word is that when even things seem to be left up to chance, they're in God's hands. and he will make himself and his ways known to us. So in closing this morning, I'll show you just this final point here. God's word teaches us that life is only to be found, ultimately, in fearing God. Life can only be found in fearing God. If he's able to get our attention, if he's able to make himself known, we can't outrun his plans and purposes, then life can only be found in fearing God. Do you know that with God, nothing is left to chance in our world, that God is completely in control? Let me just first off say what great meaning and hope that gives to all of life, that all that is unseen, all that others may not know about, you know, not everyone knows our stories. You tell a little bit of your story to somebody, but it's impossible for somebody to know your whole life and all you've gone through, where you've been, where you're going. But God sees. And we have a God who not only has love for us, but desires to make himself known for us. He desires to show us his perfect justice, his perfect love, his perfect provision in his Son, Jesus Christ, his plan in Jesus that matches all circumstances. The sailors are learning about God for the first time. Jonah should have known better, but God's in the midst of all, faithful to do what he will always do. We need a bigger view of God and his faithfulness. And you might need to know this morning that as a follower of Christ, even more truthfully, your life is not left to chance. It comes under the will of God. God's long-term things we need to know in the midst of all the details. The Bible says, when all is said and done as a follower of Christ, we need to know, number one, that we will be with Jesus. And number two, we will one day be like Jesus. And those are the things that need to guide all of our lives. Your life is not random as a follower of Christ. It has a definite outcome. You will be with Jesus, and you will one day be like Jesus in every way. When is the last time in the midst of all your cares that you submitted everything going on in your life under those two truths? Well, in the midst of this challenge or in the midst of this burden, I know I'm going to be with Christ and I'm going to be like Christ. And that should have great motivation for how we live our lives. But it also gives great accountability to us. That life really is only to be found in God. And we learn from this text that running from God cannot last forever. The question is, are we going to turn to God willingly or are we going to force his hand? Through the gospel, Jesus is Savior from sin. He died in our place that we might turn and surrender our lives to him. We might trust in him and receive a forgiveness by faith, become a new creation in Christ. Because of Jesus, we don't need to run from God. We can run directly to him, and we can be made right with God because of Jesus Christ. And as believers, we shouldn't be hiding out, but showing out. Not hiding in the dark, but people who are walking in the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You're not light depending on your deeds, your works, how good a week it's been, how good a month it's been. You are light in the Lord because of faith in Jesus Christ. He has made you light. And so we shouldn't hide out below deck. We shouldn't weasel away from God's plan and purposes. We should run not only to Jesus, but we should run to the doing of God's will. And say, God, I want to watch you at work in my life. I want to watch you at work in my world. I want other people to see me following your word. So just as we prepare to pray and reflect, just think about it. As a follower of Christ, what does it look like for me to walk in the light? Not be below deck, hiding from God, but running to him in my personal desires. Am I listening to God's word? Am I being conformed to Jesus with my family and my employment and the place where God has set me down? Am I walking in the light? Am I running to the will of God? Am I responding to him, trying to get my attention? What's the next step? And how can I be faithful to obey what he's calling me to do? Pray with me. Let's thank God for his word. Father, we thank you that you have preserved for us the story of Jonah. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy and compassion that you showed to him, that even though he was a disobedient prophet, that you got his attention. Because, Father, life is found only in fearing you. And thank you that we have a much better example than Jonah. We have the Lord Jesus who came as our Savior, who didn't run from your will, but died on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for the faithfulness of Jesus. I pray for any here this morning who sense you getting their attention, Father, and understand that they have been running from Jesus. Father, I pray that they would see that they can turn around and run to Christ, that he is our Savior from sin and the Lord who can make us anew. I pray that they would trust in him this morning. And Lord, for the rest of us, we have so much still left to learn and be obedient as followers of Christ. Help us to live in line with your will and to make you known in our world. We love you, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.